You turn back to Luke chapter 8. Tonight we're going to observe the Lord's table together. I've entitled this message, Believe Only. Now I started to entitle this message, No Ifs, Ands, or Buts. And that would go with that statement, believe only. Luke chapter 8, verse 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. Jairus means God enlightens. And it's my prayer that God will enlighten us this morning as to what it means to believe only. No ifs, ands, and buts, but to believe only. The hardest thing in the world to do is to trust Christ alone. Do you know that? It's actually impossible unless the Lord God enables us to. It takes omnipotence to make a man to do nothing and believe only. I pray that I might be one of those people this morning that believes only. Now Jairus comes and he falls down at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Matthew's account of this same thing says he worshiped him. Before anything else took place, he worshiped him. He was desperate. This was his only daughter, 12 years old. She was at the point of death. But this issue had to be settled first. Worship. You don't worship for hope of what he'll do for you, or fear of what you'll lose if you do not. You worship Jesus Christ for who He is without respect to what He does for you. And somebody says, that's impossible. No, it's not. This issue of worship must first be settled. You worship Him for who He is without respect to what He does or does not do for you. Now let me show you this in the scripture. Turn to Matthew 15. Hold your finger there. Very familiar passage of scripture. Verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan. She was not an Israelite. She was not a Jew. She was a Gentile. Mark's account tells us she was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. She was not an Israelite. That's very important. She was a Gentile. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Now, she came for something, didn't she? She came into his presence because of something she wanted. Her daughter was vexed with the devil, and she wanted her daughter healed. What a great need she had. And she came to the Lord the right way. He's the Lord. He's the Son of David. She came for the right thing, mercy. Verse 23. But he answered her, not a word. He ignored her. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now she comes as a Gentile. And he says, I've only come for the Jews. I've only come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She was not one of those people. She was a Gentile. Now, what did she do? What was her response? Verse 25. Then came she and worshiped him. She didn't turn around and leave. She didn't give up. She didn't know whether he'd do anything for her. And as a matter of fact, he said, I've only come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I didn't come for people like you. Then came she and worshiped him. When did she worship? When he said, I've only come for a particular people. And she was not one of those people. She was a woman of Canaan, a Gentile. Then came she and worshiped him. Now here's the point. If he said to me or to you, I did not come to save you. If he said that, would he still be worthy of worship? If he sent you to hell, would he still be worthy of worship? Now, this is an issue that must be settled. God will not do anything for you if this issue is not settled. He is to be worshiped for who he is, without respect to what he does or does not do. For you. He's the Lord. And he is worthy of all worship. You know, I just know so much that this is true. You'll only worship him in whom you have no power over at all. He's absolutely sovereign and you can't control him. Now, if you had power over him, if you have some ability to get him to respond to you, you won't worship him. But you'll only worship him who is an absolute sovereign who does as he will. And this must be settled. Verse 42. For he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. Now, when I read of this man in Luke chapter 8, verses 41 and 42, I also see a defect in his faith. He said, I want you to come and heal her. I want you to come and lay your hands on her. I want you to move from one place to another so she can be healed. Now you see a defect in her faith, don't you? You remember when the Roman centurions, he sent somebody to ask the Lord to heal a servant. He didn't even feel like he was worthy to come. And the Lord said, I'll come and heal him. And the man said, you don't have to do that. All you have to do is speak the word, and my servant shall be healed. I understand authority. I have one servant. I say to him, go. He goes. To another, come. He comes. I say to one, do this, and he does it. All you got to do is speak it. All you got to do is will it, and it takes place. This man had a defect in his faith. But aren't you thankful that the Lord saves people with defects in their faith? I dare say there's a lot of people here this morning that have defects in their faith.
You know, it's not
perfect faith that saves in the sense that none of us have it.
I love thinking about this. The weakest faith in the world saves just as surely as the greatest faith in the world. With no difference. You know why? Because it's not the faith that saves, it's the object of the faith that saves, the Lord Jesus Christ. She had a defect in her faith. But the Lord, or he had a defect in his faith, but the Lord goes with him toward
her daughter. His daughter. Now let's,
verse 42. But
as he went,
the people thronged him. And then we're given something that took place during this. This is while he was on his way to the home of Jairus to heal his daughter. While this was going on, this is what we considered last week. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood stanched. She was healed completely. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee." There's all kinds of people touching you. "And sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me. For I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Now, what do you think Jairus thought as he observed that? He thought, he healed her. He can heal my daughter. He was filled with optimism and happiness. He healed her. This is what's going to happen with my daughter. He was so happy, my little 12-year-old. He's going to come and he's going to lay his hand on her and heal her. And she'll be completely healed just like this woman was. He was so excited. Verse 49.
While he yet spake,
there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, "Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. Too late now. Thy daughter is dead." Now, can you imagine how this deflated all of his hope? He'd been feeling so optimistic, so excited, thinking that the Lord was going to come and heal his daughter. And now he hears, "Your daughter is dead. It's too late." And I cannot think of anything more painful than that. Losing your child. And this was his only child. Little 12-year-old girl. Can you imagine what pain he must have felt? No hope. It's too late for her to be healed. She's dead.
Verse 50. But
I love the buts in the scripture.
But when Jesus heard, he answered him saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be healed."
Now I want us to notice the absence of three words: if, and but. You've all heard that phrase, no if, ands, or buts. Well, there's no if, ands, or buts here. Now, what do I mean by that?
Well, what if he would have said, "Fear not, if you can believe, if you can muster up the faith, if you can just believe that I'm able to do this and allow me to work, then she'll be healed." That's pretty much the message of man's religion. God wants to heal you. God wants to save you. God's making salvation available, but it's up to you. If you can believe, if you can muster up the faith, then she shall be healed.
Now, understand this. If any part of salvation is dependent upon me doing anything, salvation is by works. And someone who preaches that message preaches a message of salvation by works. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves," that faith, "it's not of yourselves, not of works." And here he says, "not of works, lest any man should boast." He didn't say, "if you can do anything." Second word that's not with this is "and." Believe only and. Believe only and quit sinning. Believe only and get your life straightened out. Believe only and fill in the blank, whatever it is. Believe only and something will take place is a negation of believe only, isn't it? He said, "believe only. Believe only, and she shall be healed." No buts. No exceptions to this. Not believe only, but if this takes place, it won't work. No, no ifs, no ands, no buts. Here's the message of the Scripture. Believe only, and thy daughter shall be made whole. Now, what was he to believe when the Lord says to him, "believe only"? Not believe and, but believe only. What was he to believe? He was to believe. And may God give me the grace and you give the grace to believe the same thing that this man was to believe. That Christ Jesus had the power to make her alive. She was dead. Believe only that if I will it, she shall be made alive. Christ could raise her from the dead. Now, what can a dead man bring to the table in this thing of salvation? Well, there is something he can bring. You know what it is? Death. Death. He can bring that. Death. But as far as any ability to save himself or any ability to give himself life, how much ability does a dead man have? None. You've seen a dead person. They have no life, no ability. If someone is dead, there's only one source of hope that they can have to be revived, and that is God. Do you believe that Christ is able to give a dead sinner life? Now, it's very important. Somebody says, "well, what do you mean by dead sinner?" Well, do you remember in the Garden of Eden when God said to Adam and Eve, "in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die"? That very day. Now, when they ate of the fruit, did they die that day? Yes. Not physically, but they did die spiritually. And that's what a spiritually dead person is someone who does not have spiritual life. He's dead. Now, you take a dead person can't see. Show him a beautiful picture. He doesn't have any appreciation of it. Show him one that's no good. He can't see that one either. He can't smell. Give him something to smell. It means nothing to him. Maybe it stinks. You smell it. Doesn't smell bad to him. It smells wonderful to you. Doesn't smell wonderful to him because he's dead. He can't feel. Put an ice cube against him. He doesn't flinch. Stick him with a lighted match. It does nothing to him. He can't feel. He can't hear. Play beautiful music to him. It means nothing to him. He can't taste. Take the best food you can get. Stick it in his mouth. No appreciation. He's dead. Now, a spiritually dead man is unable to perform the functions of spiritual life. He can't hear the gospel. He's unable to. He can't taste and see that the Lord is gracious. He can't feel the greatness of God's grace or the awe and majesty of His person. He can't smell the sweet savor of the gospel. He's dead. Now, a dead sinner cannot save themselves. Now listen to me, if you're without Christ right now, if you're without Christ, you are dead in trespasses and sins. You cannot save yourself. If God doesn't do something for you right now, you will go to hell. And I want to say that with a broken heart too. I'm not saying that callously. I sure hope I'm not. If God doesn't do something for you, you will go to hell. But thank God, He is able to save dead sinners. To believe only is to take away all ifs, ands, and buts. Have you ever believed only? Not believed and, not believed if, not believed but believed only. Now let me show you some scriptures that have this word only in it. I'm going to quote this one to you. You can look it up if you want. It's one we look at probably once a week. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, where it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only," get that? "Only evil continually." Would that be you? Would that be me? When God saw men, He saw every imagination of the thoughts of His heart was only evil continually. Now believe that about yourself. It's the truth. You are only evil nonstop. Same is true about me. That's what we are in and of ourselves. In Psalm 51, verse 4, David said, "Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when you speak and clear when you judge." Now, wait a minute, David. I think Uriah might have something to say about that. I mean, you did murder him, didn't you? I think Bathsheba might have something to say about that. You did commit adultery with her and brought much sorrow into her life. What is this thing about saying, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight"? What's this all about? Well, it's that you might be justified when you speak and clear when you judge. There are only two kinds of people in this world. There's folks who judge God, and there's folks who justify God. There are people who sit in judgment on God and say, "Well, I don't agree with that," or "I don't think that's right," or "I don't think that's fair," or with regard to all the things regarding how He saves sinners. "Well, I don't agree with that." Well, and then there's others. There's others who justify Him in whatever He does. Whatever He does is right, just, holy, and true. Now, if you believe that you're one of those people who are described in that first verse of Scripture I quoted, only evil continually, you're going to say that whatever God does with you or anybody else is just and right. He's clear when He judges, and He's justified when He speaks. And then Matthew chapter 17. Let's go ahead and turn there. I want to read this whole passage of Scripture. "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with them. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles. One for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Now, I love those two words, Jesus only. I have one reason for being saved. Jesus only. Not Jesus and. Jesus only. When from the dust of death I rise to take my mansions in the skies, even then shall this be all my plea, that Jesus lived and died for me. I have one reason for salvation. I don't need another reason. Jesus only. I love to think of the fact that I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. Now understand this. The reason I hate that teaching that says that Jesus Christ made salvation available for everybody and that he can die for you and you wind up in hell anyway. The reason I hate that is because that's taking away the only hope I got. The only hope I have is that Christ Jesus died for me. That's a positive message. If he died for you, you must be saved. Well, what if he didn't die for me? Well, what if he did? What if he did? Here's the issue. You don't need to worry about whether or not he died for you. You need to call upon him for mercy. I'm saying here to everybody. Don't worry about whether or not he died for you. You call upon him for mercy. There's never been anybody that called upon him for mercy that he turned away. If you come to him, you will be received. That's the truth. But they saw no man save Jesus only. And then in Psalm 71:16, David said, I've made mention of thy righteousness, even thine only. I love that. Even thine only. It's easy to make mention of his righteousness, even his only, if you believe his righteousness is the only righteousness there is. Now, if you believe that, you won't make mention of any other righteousness. You'll know the only righteousness you have is the righteousness and merits of Jesus Christ. His law-keeping is your righteousness before God. Don't you love his righteousness being your righteousness? I love his righteousness. That becomes more new, more powerful, more fresh, more glorious to me. I love having his righteousness as my righteousness before God. And then our Lord said to Jairus, believe only. Believe only. The only ground I come to God on is that I'm a sinner. Now let me repeat that. The only ground that I come to God on is that I'm a sinner, and Christ came to save sinners. He promised that. I'm one of them. Save me. As nothing but a sinner, trust him only. No ifs, no ands, no buts. Trust him only as all you need to make you righteous. Believe, nothing else is needed to be added to him saying when he by himself purged our sins. He sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Now, as I said, the hardest thing in the world to do is nothing. And to trust Christ only.
Believe only.
Not believe and, believe only. And she shall be made whole. That is stating a fact. She shall be made whole. Now back to our text in Luke chapter 8. Verse 51. Beloved, believe only. Believe only. God's command to you right now, everybody in this room, believe only. Simply trust who He is and what He did as all that's needed to make you perfect in God's sight. Believe only. Don't let anything else in there. Believe only. Verse 51. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. They were making a scene. But he said, weep not. She's not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. They made fun of him because of what they knew. She was dead. But you know, there was something they didn't know. Who he was. Verse 54, I love this. He put them all out. I like the way he did that. He put them all out. And he took her by the hand. And I love to think, this little girl was dead. Lifeless, limp hand. I don't think she'd become stiff yet. I think she just died. And he took her by the hand. And he said, Maid, arise. You know something she couldn't do? She could not arise. When he said, Maid, arise, she had to. She couldn't say no. Lazarus, come forth. He that was dead came forth. Now this is what is called almighty, invincible, irresistible grace. And I love grace like this. That says to the dead sinner, arise. And the dead sinner arises. Maid, arise. And her spirit came again. And she arose immediately. Straightway. And he commanded to give her meat. You see, when you're alive, you know what you need? Food. Dead people don't need food, do they? But living people need food. And this has something to do with the living person needing to hear the gospel. Give her food. Give her something to eat. You know, I need to hear the gospel. I need to hear the Lord preach the gospel to me. I need to hear more than the words of a man. I need the Lord to give me something to eat. The only way my life is sustained is by Him giving me something to eat. Now that she's alive, she can eat. And her parents were astonished. But he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Now this little girl was made whole. Remember, he said, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And that word made whole is the same word that's generally translated saved. She shall be saved thoroughly. And your being made whole is because Christ made you whole. And you know what you'll do if He has made you whole? You will believe only. You will believe only. Now I call upon everybody in here. Believe only. Believe only. Me? Yeah, you. Believe only. And in believing only, you are saved completely. You don't have the minimum. You have the maximum. And everything in between. It can't get any better. Believe only. May God give us all grace to do that. I tell you what.
Somebody says, well, but what about how to live? Oh, if you believe only, you're going to know how to live. I'm not sure. I'm sure of that.
If you believe only, you'll know how to live. You see, you only have life in believing only. Let's pray.